Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to our times being together. They are a blessing for me, and I pray that they are for you as well. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. Without them, we wouldn't be able to have these times. So certainly want to thank them, but I hope that you're having a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day here. We're again hoping for some more rain. We've gotten some lately, but it's an absolutely beautiful day outside. I was in Vacation Bible School this morning. That's always a joy to be with the children and the young people, and are very thankful for that opportunity to be with them and to share the Lord with them. And you always hope and pray that you're planting seeds, it'll come to fruition. So it's been a very special day today, but the best part about it is whether in Vacation Bible School or you and I as we meet together like this is the fact that we get to meet with our Lord. And so let's turn our hearts and go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the day that you have given unto us. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, I ask now that you speak to us in your word, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, it is as I was praying, I heard it thunder outside. I left my car windows down, but I think we may have enough time before we need to complete our time together. I know as we look around this world, we're all very painfully aware of how sinful and evil this world is. We certainly see it every day on the news. Certainly over this past weekend with the assassination of President Trump, we see just how wicked and evil this world is. We hear it in conversations as we hear about situations that people are either in themselves or that they know about. No doubt we've also experienced it personally in our lives. And we're not the first. David certainly knew about living in evil times among evil people. You think about what he said in Psalm 41 in verses 5 through 9. My enemies speak evil against me. When will he die and his name perish? And when he comes to see me, he speaks falsehood. His heart gathers wickedness to itself. When he goes outside, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me, and against me they devise my hurt, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him, that when he lies down, he will not rise up again. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. David certainly knew what it was like to be surrounded by evil, wicked people. Our Lord knew this. Although this is obviously Holy Spirit inspired David to write this and about the circumstances in his own life, and it's probably a reference to Ahithophel, the counselor whose counsel David so feared when David had to flee before Absalom's rebellion against David. And yet ultimately it's actually a prophecy of Judas being with our Lord and yet betraying him. So David knew what it was like to be among the evil and have be surrounded by them. David knew it by experience. Our Lord certainly knew it. And yet what is amazing is we think about this psalm, again, written in the immediate context of David's dealings with those who are evil, as a prophecy of our Lord's dealing with those who betrayed him, is the fact that the psalm begins in verse 1, how blessed, and then it ends in verse 13, blessed be the Lord, the God. In other words, it begins with a blessing, it ends with a blessing, in spite of the fact that all of this taking place in an evil world. And what it tells us is the fact that we can, in fact, have a blessed life even in the midst of an evil world. Well, how do we do that? How can we have a blessed life in an evil world? Well, look at what we see as we look at this psalm. We see, number one, we need to trust God's reward. Yes, remember, the backdrop of this psalm is wickedness, is betrayal. It talks about being in a very sinful environment. And it's easy for that to cause us to become sour, self-centered, hardened, if you will, bitter. But you think about what we read in verses 1 through 3. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. And he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed, and in his illness you will restore him to health. You think about that. Blessed, which means happy or joyful, even in the midst of a very evil, wicked world. You know, again, when we face that which is evil and wicked, our first thought is the fact, you know, we need to somehow circle the wagons, if you will. And emotionally, you know, just withdraw and get in a defensive circle. But you think about what we have to change that. It is God's promised blessing upon his people when they walk with him. You know, when you read Deuteronomy 15, God's talking about how his people are to deal with debts, how they were to deal with the poor. And he comes over to the latter part, verse 10. He says, "You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all of your work and in all of your undertakings." You think about that. Why could you operate in such a way? Because of the promise of God's blessing. You know, as you and I live through this world, it's not a matter of what we, you know, that we have to be a shark because we're swimming with sharks. It's not that, you know, we have to join in, you know, do as the Romans do. We can live extending God's grace because of the grace that we know has been and is and will be given unto us. Now, certainly we need to be wise. You know, as I do this, it made me think about Philippians 1:9, where it talks about where Paul's desire for the church at Philippi was to grow in love and wisdom, or some translations say discernment. So we need to be wise and loving, not diminishing the fact of being wisdom, of being wise, but we can in fact live graciously. We can in fact live trusting God's blessing. We can in fact know that God will reward us when we live his way. He will provide, he'll protect unto his will, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but he provides an inner richness for our life. Now, we may still have problems. David did. Our Lord certainly did. But both David and our Lord have in fact been rewarded by the Father. We can trust God's reward. We can live his way knowing that he will in fact reward us for doing so. And even when we see ourselves in a very evil, wicked world, we can trust God's reward and we can have that blessed life. But not only do we need to trust God's reward, but we need to trust God's forgiveness. You know, unfortunately, as we live in this sinful world, we sin ourselves. We still have an old sin nature within us. We still have a bent towards sin. Sometimes the temptations and the draw of this world cause us to, you know, or lead us to trip, to fall. Sometimes we sin by overreacting emotionally and sometimes verbally, and maybe even beyond that sometimes, at the sin and the evilness that we see. Our sin, if we're believers, and I trust that you are one, if you haven't, I invite you to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Our sins don't cause us to lose our salvation, but we do lose our fellowship, the closeness, the intimacy with our Lord. But you know, through confession, there is forgiveness, there is cleansing, there's restoration. You think about what David was inspired to write in verse 4. "As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you." The wonderful truth is God does that for us. You think about what we see in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can be restored into a full, rich relationship, even in these difficult days. You think about the apostles, the early church. You think about the Apostle Paul, living in the very difficult days of the first century, and after that, you know, as we can look at church history. In every generation, God has enabled his people to live rich, full, meaningful lives in him. But a key of doing that is to remain close to him and to keep a short account of our sins. That as soon as we become aware of a sin, whether it's in our mind or our mouth or our actions, whether it's something we do or something we didn't do, that we confess that unto the Lord so that we can, in fact, be close to Him and remain close to Him. But then notice what else we need to do. We need to trust God's protection. You know, we're not left alone to face this world. Most of us, again, you know, we frequently quote the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for why? Thou art with me." Look at these verses. I know we've already read verses 5 through 9, but let's reread those and go all the way down through verse 12, because they speak very much of this wonderful protection that God gives His people. Look again, verse 5, and we'll go through verse 12. "My enemies speak evil against me. When will he die and his name perish? And when he comes to see me, he speaks falsehood. His heart gathers wickedness to itself. When he goes outside, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him, that when he lies down, he will not rise up again. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever." The assurance of God's protection. And we will need to clarify, it's protection unto his will. God wonderfully delivered David from death. God delivered our Lord through death. Our Lord was, in fact, betrayed over to his enemies, was, in fact, tried falsely, executed, but was buried and rose again the third day. But for each of them, God protected them unto his will. And his will was always for their blessing. David in life, but even more so now after he died, our Lord, after he arose. But we can trust God's protection. Nothing can hurt us. Nothing can come against us. Nothing can get anywhere near us unless God allows it. And he always allows it for our ultimate blessing and good, his glory, his honor. He protects us unto his will. We can trust him. We can rest in him. We live in these times. They're very dangerous. They're very unsettling. And again, it's very easy for us to be paranoid. I'm not denying the fact, again, that we need to be wise. But we can also have a joy and a fullness and a richness in our heart because we're not alone. Our shepherd is with us, and nothing can approach us that doesn't go through him first, and he doesn't allow anything to touch us except, you know, for that which will be for our ultimate blessing and for his ultimate reward of us. We can trust him. And more than anything in these days, we need to be trusting our Lord. And probably more than any other time in my lifetime, we need to be trusting him in these very, very dark, dangerous days that could be becoming even more dark and dangerous. We need to trust him. But then lastly, we trust God's victory. Look again at verse 13, or look at verse 13. "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." That verse speaks of praise and worship and adoration. Why? Because of God being the victorious, triumphant warrior king. God is, in fact, the victor. This world cannot defeat him. In fact, is all this sin, all this wickedness, all this rebellion against God is actually following his path to his victory over them. Not trying to be trite. We read the book of the Revelation, or Daniel, or any of the other Old Testament prophets, for that matter, and each of them clearly present him as the victorious king. This world is not going to succeed in all of its evil and all of its wickedness. It's not going to succeed in its rebellion against him. It's just simply moving faster toward the judgment that he has already pronounced upon it. He is the victorious king. We can trust God's victory. Our God is the victorious warrior king. Yes, this world is evil. We were reminded of that just a couple of days ago over the weekend, just how evil and wicked it is, how unsettled it is, and could very possibly get even worse, even in a very short period of time, days and weeks to come. But we can still have a life that's full of God's blessings. But we need to trust Him. We need to live for His reward. Keep a short account of our sins through confession, repentance. And always remember that our God is the victor. He is the triumphant warrior king. And we can long for His day of victory, because that's when all things will be made right. And until then, we can have that peace, that joy, that confidence in our heart. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You, O God, that You are the living God, the triumphant God. O God, the God who rules and reigns. And Lord, we need You in this hour. Father, help us, O Lord, to remember that You reward those who walk with You. Father, lead us to keep a close tabs on our sin, Lord, to always confess it. Father, may we trust You, and may we, O God, look for Your ultimate victory. And O Lord, by doing so, may we experience the fullness and the richness and the joy that You want us to have, a blessed life, even in this wicked world. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I pray as you go through today in these very dark, troubling, frightening days, that you keep your mind and your heart focused upon the Lord, that you allow Him to give you, to share with you His strength, His love, His compassion, His nearness, that you'll be able to rest in Him, and that you will have that blessed life from within, from on high, as you live in these evil days.